You're listening to Kizuki, the podcast. I'm Mei Yoshikawa, and I define the Japanese concept of Kizuki as the following. Kizuki. 1. A moment of epiphany, an aha of realization or insight which opens the knower to a new dimension of truth that was formerly unknown. 2. Steps in an incremental growth of awareness, resulting in a movement from ignorance to greater awareness of the bigger picture. A kind of knowing that cannot be undone, that cannot be unrealized. As a longtime yoga and meditation practitioner, a world traveler and curious self-explorer, I'm obsessed with Kizukis. Listen on each week for inspiring and enlightening stories that may just tip you over for your next aha. On this week's episode, When Adults Get Cute. Why is she all of a sudden acting cute? I didn't get it. So I asked this of my other Japanese friend out of curiosity. I was referring to a moment I had with an acquaintance when I noticed her take some unnatural actions when she was in the room with me. The context was like this. We had a common objective, something we needed to get done. Sure, it's not like we were besties, so it wasn't a fully easeful setting, but nothing so wrong about it either. I was just promptly going about doing my part of the task, and so was she. But with this little bunny-like bounce in her step and making these humming sounds that felt a little out of context to me, it just wasn't adult-like. Catching this behavior in full awareness and not vibing with it, I later asked another friend, why is it that sometimes Japanese people, like adults, seem to suddenly take these out-of-context cutesy behavior? I mean, there's nothing harmful about it, but it also feels a little strange to me, like it's a bit performative. Not real. Because it's not, obviously, it's performed. Oh, I know what you're talking about, but I'm not exactly sure why either, my friend responded. But you don't have it, which is why I'm asking you, I said to my friend. I guess not, but I'm not sure why. And so that conversation was a dead end. That was that, for a while. Until recently, something similar happened once again, this time in the form of an email. This was a somber, serious topic. We had to exchange some hard things to say. Then, suddenly, the person's message ended in a cutesy, childlike tone. They said what they needed to say, but then signed off with a Bunny Bunny repeat twice nickname that I had never heard used before. So something in me paused again. Not because I thought it was sweet, but because to me it was revealing. It felt like a moment of emotional regression, a retreat into a smaller, safer self. Ah, and the Kizuki arrived. This wasn't about culture. This wasn't even about personality. This was about emotional safety in tense situations and the surprising ways adults reach for that safety. While the tendency towards this kawaii, as we say in Japanese, cutesiness, that leans Japan-specific, this mechanism to look for emotional safety is universal. So today, I thought I would take a jab at talking about this awkward thing that many adults use. I know I have. And oftentimes, it's completely unintentional. And we all use it to deflect a harder situation. That's because the thing is, adults are trained and taught that we're not allowed to be overwhelmed, especially not in public and not in relationship to other adults, especially when there are certain responsibilities that need to be taken. But adults can feel like we want to shrink when something feels too big or too hard, too. It's just that we don't know how to stay with that intensity of the moment, so instead we end up using other things to deflect it, whether it's sarcasm, humor, making jokes about it, or suddenly taking cute mannerisms in a childlike way. In many cultures, like Japan, where harmony is valued, this manufactured softness becomes normal. It's actually like the go-to social norm that people reach for. Like there's this unspoken understanding that everyone agrees that kawaii, cute, is safe and harmless, and that, you know, it's okay to use. It's become this socially acceptable way to step out of the adult arena without ever saying the real words, the vulnerable words. I feel exposed. I feel hurt, so I feel defensive. I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how to deal with this. I'm under a lot of pressure. And so when you're not able to, capable of admitting those real feelings, cuteness or some other deflective mechanism can become a temporary exit, a shield to protect the vulnerability of truth. And it's a way to lower the emotional intensity of the room. When people shift into this smaller self, whether it's by acting cute or funny or aloof, as I have observed, it's rarely conscious. I feel like it serves certain purposes psychologically. Like I said, it can be this escape from emotional intensity, first and foremost. It can also save face, right? Like you're not losing it in the scene. You might be deflecting it, but you're not losing it. You're not losing control. And, oh, yes, of course, the softening of the tone is avoidance of confrontation. Maybe, potentially, the underlying message there is, please be gentle with me. Like the adult way of saying, go easy with me, without really saying it. And it's a regression to emotional safety, this protected, armored version of themselves. Once I started seeing it along those lines, I felt like I understood it. This is not about immaturity. It's not about manipulation, although it could be. This is primarily a survival response. Once I tuned into the perceived discomfort that the person was likely experiencing, I recognized a deeper pattern. Many times, not always, but many times, it goes like this. I'm hurt or troubled. I'm under pressure. But I can't admit it. I have to justify it, rationalize it in my head, and somehow keep control over the situation. Maybe I'll just behave cute, or be funny, or pretend like I'm aloof so that I can soften the situation. But in truth, I'm protecting myself in the moment because I'm perceiving that this intensity is not safe for my nervous system. It's the adult way of saying, this is too much for me. I don't know how to stay adult in this moment. And that made me think about something bigger. How much of the world is running on survival mechanisms instead of awareness? We think we're communicating, but many of us are actually defending. We think we're responding, but we're reacting from old patterns. We think we're being honest and real, but really, we're shielding ourselves in the only ways we know how. Some people get cute, some make jokes, some get sarcastic, some withdraw, some overexplain, go silent, or aloof. Different behaviors, same instinct. Protect the vulnerable part of me. I can't be exposed. Now, not to put the blame on anyone, because I know I have had my share of deflecting or maybe being aloof or funny, sarcastic, definitely, cynicism, just unconsciously feeling like I need to protect myself. But today, this is why I think it matters, and this is why I'm bringing it up. Because these emotional regression, this protective survival mechanism, it shows up in teams, in relationships, in leadership, friendships, families. And when an adult is not able to maintain awareness and they slip into this smaller self and the need to protect oneself, it shifts the whole dynamic. It changes the understanding of power and it muffles clarity in that moment. And unless we recognize what's happening and we bring it to the surface, like we name it and talk about it, we'll end up not only misreading the moment entirely, but we're likely to keep repeating the same pattern. Okay, so when we notice such deflective behavior in ourselves or in others, how do we respond to that without collapsing or hardening further? First of all, when you see others around you drop into such protective mode, there's not too much you can do about it, right? Maybe the only thing to do is just to silently hold space for them and to continue to see them beyond that protective layer. I personally don't think it's necessarily our place to point it out for our friends because it's such a delicate operational mechanism psychologically. But in my experience, a gentle, spacious neutrality at the end of the day serves as the best mirror for them to come to recognition of themselves at their own time and readiness. It means that you, in light of whatever behavior that's happening around you, must learn to hold your boundary and recognition without becoming cold or judgmental about it. Also, when I say hold your boundary, you must be very mindful to not answer that behavior by entering that dynamic. Sometimes, you know, if someone behaves cutesy like a child, the other person in the room might be prompted to act like the older figure or the parent in the parent-child dynamic. Or if someone is using sarcasm or unnecessary jokes, we might answer it by laughing at the jokes and joining in their mechanism. But I am trying my hardest to keep my footing and hold my ground, to not be pulled into that. And I want to encourage you also to not reward that regression by meeting their performative behavior and survival mechanism where they're at. Just because you're in the same room doesn't mean you have to meet their vibration. You don't have to meet them where they're at. You can learn to be neutral in it, to accept it, to not judge it, but also to not vibe with it. And most of all, when you have the chance to speak directly to the adult self behind the shield, and let that be your clarity, because you keep your focus on who they truly are, not their performative self. because responding to the adult helps the adult to return. Now, should this deflective, childlike pattern show up in yourself, the challenge is to take a beat, breathe, and pause. Really take your time. Maybe place your hand on your heart or shoulders to remind your nervous system that you can stay regulated and that you are safe even in perceived tension. Take your time, then choose again. See if you can find a way to allow yourself to remain real with all your emotions, meeting them in that moment, even if real means uncomfortable and real means way more vulnerable than you're used to being. The way I see it, even if this behavior shows up more visibly in certain cultures, that truth is universal. When humans feel overwhelmed, we all reach for the versions of ourselves that we think feels safest to us. Different costumes, same message. When we understand this, compassion can grow, and so does our ability to stay sovereign and clear and neutral. This realization, for me, was a window into a deeper truth. When we confront uncomfortable reality, we all seek safety. But the real work, the liberating work, is staying adult, even when our hearts want to shrink like little children. So I want to leave you with this question. Where in your life do you notice yourself shrinking into smallness or deflection or performative behavior? And what would happen if you stayed fully present instead? Thank you for listening. If you missed the recent Kizuki Journaling online session, the on-demand replay is now available at maey.live under On Demand. And if you'd like to be the first to know when the next live session opens, you can sign up for my weekly newsletter at the bottom of maey.live or kizukijournaling.com.